Heavenly Father, what an awesome and yet humbling truth, reality, that your death on the cross paid the ransom for our sins, Lord. And it reminds us as we sing those words and meditate on those words, all that you have done for us. Fill our hearts with gratitude and thanks. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would bring life to the words I'm about to speak, that only the truth will go forth and only the truth will be received. And I ask it in the precious and wonderful and glorious name of God our Savior. Amen. In 1990, long before many of you were born, I began to sense that God was calling me to leave the church where I had served for about 9 years. I've been a part of the church for 14 or 15 years. I was called on staff from within the church. You've heard me talk about that church several times. We won, probably the last 5 or 6 years, we won between 50 and 100 people to Christ every year. We saw miracles that I have never seen since. We saw people saved of cancer and other diseases. It was an unbelievable place to serve. And in the midst of that, I get this call from God. It's time for me to move on. And I wish I could tell you that I responded like this, but I resisted for about a year. And my wife and I had gone to a small group. One of the things I oversaw in the church was small groups. And we went to a small group conference in Minneapolis, and we did something different. We took a train down. And on the way back, I'm sleeping in my berth, and in the middle of the night, I kind of get woken up. And God is speaking to me, and he's saying ever so clearly that the time for action is now. You have been disobeying for a year. Do not disobey any longer. Leave that church. So I waited. I waited for God to tell me where I was going. He never answered. And so I went back to the church, and my first day in the office, I met with the senior pastor, told him that God had led me and I was leaving the church. And next elders meeting, I communicated that to the church, or next elders to the elders. June 30th, 1991, I announced it to the church that I was leaving at the end of August. So the number one question after the service was, where are you going? And all I could say was, I don't know. I don't know. We were not a wealthy family. We lived month to month. We didn't have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in the bank. But I knew that God had called me to resign. And so I did. A lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, not uncertain about our future. But I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We are early in a new year, as Pastor Matt mentioned earlier. And this year is unknown to us. We don't know what's going to happen. We may travel some new journeys that we've never traveled before. We may even face some kind of strange paths, things that we never expected would happen to us. We may go through new experiences. I almost guarantee you that we will be asked by God to enter some new territories, some places where we've never seen before. And in the text that Marilyn read earlier, this is what Abraham was facing. It says in Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out. But listen to that last line in that verse. He went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going, but God had called him and he said, I am going. I think a common fear for many of us is this fear of the unknown. That, but when we act on that fear, we don't step into the unknown, it shuts us off. It shuts us off from being engaged in God's calling on our life, which in turn then keeps the church in limbo. Because if the people in the church aren't willing to step out and face the unknown, then the church is going to be limited. Keeps us from fulfilling our calling as a church to make and to build disciples. Fear tends to make us very inward focused. It isolates us from the world around us. It isolates us from God. And it hinders God's plan for our life to impact the world. If we're not willing to step out and impact the world, if we're not willing to step out and be used by God, then certainly we don't grow as Christians, but the church doesn't make progress in achieving the kingdom of God here on earth. In Romans 1:17, it tells us that the righteous shall live by faith. So in other words, you and I, if you're here this morning and you've received Christ as your Savior, you're called, I'm called to live righteously, to live by faith. And so it means that if we're going to live by faith, for most of us, it means that we have to face our fears head on. We have to face our fears and overcome our fears and sometimes move into that unknown, that scary unknown. But remember that we go with God. We have God's word in our hearts, in our minds, and in our hands. That's the source of our faith. You see, Aaron was sharing this morning that joy does not come from outside. It doesn't come from those things that we do as much as happiness as they might bring. They don't bring joy. What brings us joy is the Holy Spirit within us. And so the source of our faith is not ourselves. Faith is not gritting my teeth, is allowing the Holy Spirit to more and more work in me. It's a matter of trusting God's character, understanding that God is ever so trustworthy, and then acting on that, acting on his plan, acting on his promises. If there's anything that we learn from our text this morning, it's this, that the journey of faith begins by facing fear head on so that we can grow in taking definite steps of faith. Now, I want you to notice one thing that this doesn't say. It doesn't say the journey of faith begins by having no fear. Friends, if you're anything like me, that means you're never going to take another step of faith in your whole life. Because we experience fear. But I think what it is saying, I'm going to face that fear head on. I'm not going to shrink from it. I'll acknowledge that I feel fear, but I'm going to face it head on. And I'm still going to step out in faith. In the midst of the fear, not when the fear is totally eliminated. I hear people say to me quite often, you know, I will share my faith as soon as I don't have any more fear. And I say to them, then you're never, ever going to share your faith. In the midst of our fear, we share our faith. And then in the midst of our fear, we step out in our faith. And so the journey of faith begins by facing our fear head on. Why? So that we can take those definite steps of faith. And we learned some things about those steps of faith in the life of Abraham. And the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham. And what do we learn about being people of faith as we examine this giant of the faith, who we saw in Hebrews 11, is a part of that hall of fame of faith in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, sorry, Hebrews 13. Or wherever it is. Hebrews 11. I should just sit down right now. I've just proven to the whole congregation I don't know the Bible. Yeah, face my fear. Thank you. One of the things we learn in verses 1 to 3 is that faith is based on God's promises. Faith is based on God's promises. It's not on who I am or what I am. It's based on God's promises. And so verse 1, God calls Abraham to leave the known and to move into the unknown. The known is this place of comfort, this place of security where he has lived for many years. It's where his friends are, his family are. He's in his father's house. And God calls him, says God, God says, Abraham, I want you to leave that place of comfort. I want you to leave that place that you've known for so long, and I want you to move in to a place where you don't even know, and I'm not even going to tell you where it is right off the bat. He was to go to this unknown land. And God said, I will show you. Not right now, but I will show you. He's never seen the land. He knows nothing about it. There was no Google to look up. Canaan. It was totally outside his frame of reference, what we might call today our worldview. He had no worldview of it because he had never seen it. He knew nothing about it. And so the journey of faith begins when we are willing to move from the unknown, from the known to the unknown. That's when the journey of faith begins, when we are willing to take that step. Here's the interesting thing. That word to go, that he gave to Abraham, is a translation of a term that can emphasize kind of different things that we might think of. That term can emphasize loneliness and isolation. It implies this, the ideas of leaving and of isolation and seclusion. And it reminds us that stepping out and obeying God in faith is not a guarantee of a trouble-free existence. Friends, the reality is, stepping out in faith is sometimes one of the scariest things that you'll do. Stepping out in faith and leaving a church that you love and that you've seen God work in so many ways and not sure exactly can you even make your mortgage payment the next month. That was scary. I wish I could tell you that, no, I felt such faith that I never had a moment of fear. That's what I'd be lying to you. We were concerned. It's not a guarantee of a trouble-free existence. See, sometimes we obey and we run into difficulty. We experience some of that isolation, that seclusion, that loneliness. And how do we usually respond? I guess I misheard God. No, it might not mean that at all. It might mean that you are obeying God and that he's leading you. Do you remember the story of Jesus in the storm? And he tells the disciples, go to the other side. And so they go to the other side. And as they're going, they face nothing but nice, smooth waters. That's not what happened, is it? They encountered this horrible, horrible storm. But here's the thing. They were doing what Jesus had called them to do. And yet they encountered this storm. And sometimes we're going to obey God and do what he's telling us to do and experience a storm. But at the same time, in verse 2, God promises Abraham some rewards, some blessing, some results from his faith. He says, if you go, I am going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And here's the other thing. I'm going to actually use you to bless others. And so that's why even sometimes in the midst of our isolation, in the midst of our loneliness, we can still be a blessing to other people. So let's apply all of this to ourselves for a moment. Obviously, this is a promise that had been made to the future nation of Israel. But there's a spiritual application here for us. If we live by faith, If we're willing to step from the unknown to the known, we will see God begin to work in our lives. Might not be immediate. We might have to go through some of those difficult things that I talked about. But he will build in our lives. And he will use us to build into the lives of others. We will see God's blessings on our obedience. We will have a life of significance as God uses us to make a positive impact on the lives of other people. And friends, not just for today, but for eternity. We're not just called to make a blessing here on earth, but to be a blessing to people that will enable them to live with God for all of eternity. And he calls us to do that. However, again, there will be sometimes some difficult times in our journey of faith. And so, in verse 3, God promises divine protection to Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will protect you. God would look after his people. It doesn't mean that God doesn't discipline his people. You remember the book of Habakkuk? Make sure you read all those minor prophets, by the way, because you don't want to, on your first day in heaven, have Habakkuk come up to you and say, did you read my book? No, I never got to that one. Think of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the book is basically these three questions that Habakkuk asks and God responds to. And one of them is, what are you going to do about this nation of Israel that is rebellious, that is serving other gods? And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring the Babylonians in, known as some of the cruelest, most vicious people of the day, and I am going to bring them in to discipline Israel. So it doesn't mean that he won't discipline us sometimes. Sometimes in our sin or in our unbelief, God will discipline us. But in that, there is that protection that he promises. And then he promises that Abraham and his descendants would bless all the families of the earth. A promise that looks into the future and says, I am going to bring a Messiah. I'm going to bring my son to die for all who will come to him. Friends, the life of faith is the absolute safest place that we can be. Maybe scary sometimes, but there's no more safer place than to be standing right in the will of God. We live under God's watch. We live under God's care. It's also an incredibly satisfying life because we can bring the most good to the most people through our godly influence as we're around them. And so we see in verses 1-3 that if we want to face our fear head on, so we can grow in taking definite steps of faith in our lives, we must understand that they're God's promises that we step out on. But as we move on in the text, we see in verses 4-6 that faith accomplishes God's plan. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but if you're here this morning, how many of you here do not want to be part of God's plan? If you're here and you've received Christ as your Savior, it goes with the territory that we want to be a part of God's plan. We want to be used by him. We want him to use us to establish his kingdom. And so this step into the unknown, verse 4 tells us, the step into the unknown required a willingness on Abraham's part to accept and to embrace change. Now, change for many of us is hard to accept, and especially as we get older. One of the saddest things that I hear is that it's usually the people my age who resist change the most. And I understand it. I don't like change all that much either. I get upset when McDonald's changes its menu. The last menu was perfectly fine. I don't know why they have to keep doing this. If everything was up to me, we would still be riding horses. Because I would say, what's wrong with horses? We don't need cars, these horseless carriages. That's ridiculous. Because I don't like change. Abraham was 75 years old. He had already lived about 40% of his life. And at 40% of his life, at 75, he makes this decision, I am going to totally change my life. I'm going to move from where I've been most of my life, if not all my life. And I'm going to go to a place where I don't even know. It's not just that I've never been there. I don't even know where I'm going. And he makes that decision to change. He left what he had known for 75 years and began this new direction in obedience to God. And again, I think it would be true that most of us struggle with change. But beloved, if we want to live by faith, it means that we need to be willing to make changes in our life. So I'm working in government, making more money than I ever thought I would make in my life. And the church comes along, and they say to me, we have an offer for you. We'd like you to work 21 hours a month, a week more, for $14,000 a year less. And I said, well, what fool would turn that down? Was I going to be willing to make that change from the safety and security of a government job to become the first ever staff member in a church that had just experienced a major split, literally from 180 to 90 in 3 months? Was I going to be willing to do that? We're never too old to make changes. We're never too old to make the changes that faith requires. It's not that we're too old. But beloved, it's because we're too unwilling. We don't want to make changes. We don't like changes in the church. We don't like changes in our marriage, in our family. But the attitude of faith always sees God's blessing. We always see God's blessing as greater than anything that we will ever, ever, ever leave behind for Him. The things that we give up to follow Christ in life of faith, you know what? They become insignificant. They become insignificant in light of our brighter future. So yes, we give up things, but we experience far more. Canaan was a good land, but you know what? There were bad people living in it. And eventually God would destroy that. But for now, they were a part of this environment that Abraham was going to be living in. Again, reminding us that the life of faith is not without its tough times, but even in the tough times, it doesn't diminish the fact that what God has ahead is better for us than anything that we leave behind for Him. In verse 6, it tells us that the land was Abraham's land by promise. But the Canaanites were still there, as I said, and God's time had not come yet to drive them out. But Abraham had nothing in common with them. And if he allowed them to, they would become an incredibly negative influence on his faith. And friends, that's us. We live in this world that we have very, very little in common with, that has totally different values than we have, that's whole going in a totally different direction than we would as believers want them to go. And there's a danger there that we might allow their influence to hinder our journey of faith. And so, what will we do? What will we do? See, we're never going to achieve God's potential for our lives. We're never going to help to advance His kingdom if we're going to live like the people in the world. We are different. And it's not easy. In fact, talking to my wife on the phone last night, and we were talking about this, how hard it is to be different from the world. And how we have to be prepared to be mocked and be ridiculed. Are we willing to do it to keep on our walk of faith? Or will we put the walk of faith on the side and blend in with the world? Abraham was not going to do that. And so if we want to achieve and to face our fear so that we can face it head on so that we can go ahead and take definite steps of faith, then we're going to have to recognize that faith accomplishes God's plan. That faith is in response to God's promises. But then the last thing that we need to see in verses 7 to 9 is that faith is the key to our perseverance. Faith is the key to, how do we keep going in this world that I've just said that we don't agree with? That there's this negative influence on us if we allow it to be. How do we keep going in that? Well, I know of no other way than by faith. To just keep moving one foot ahead of the other. And so in verse 7, God appears to Abraham again just to encourage him. And he reaffirms him and reaffirms his promise. After Abraham had obeyed and he moved out in faith, God appeared to him and spoke to him. And so Abraham built this altar, and he worshiped God. And friends, as we step out in faith and we continue to worship and we continue to stay in God's word, then he will encourage us and he will reaffirm his call on our lives. He will reaffirm our faith. And so Abraham comes to this place and he meets under this oak tree, and the Lord appears to him again. And some scholars would say that they believe that God met with Abraham and taught him there, because that land Moriah that they were in means teaching. And so he taught Abraham and his people. Maybe he gave him more details about his call, but certainly it would have been an encouragement to his faith. And when we see our lives as a part of God's big picture for his kingdom, then that encourages our faith. That I'm just one part of what God wants to do in the world. And so verse 9, as we end the text, Abraham continues his faith journey through the land. He obeyed God. God confirmed his word and reconfirmed his word. He worshiped God. He continued in faith to obey God. And living by faith involves this movement of fear, from fear to faith. By faith, we step into the unknown. We see God do what he says he will do. He confirms our calling. And when he does, what does it cause us to do? It causes us to worship him, because he becomes more real in our lives. And our faith continues to grow. And we're willing to take even more new steps into the unknown. So as we reflect on all of this, what are the lessons that we learn here? First of all, we learn that faith is not a leap into the dark, but a step into the light of God and his word. Faith is not a leap into the dark, but a step into the light of God and his word. And friends, even a step into the unknown is still a step into the light of God and his word. The second thing we learn is that faith means we must face our fear if we're going to accomplish God's plan. Again, we don't totally overcome our fear. We don't have to get rid of all of our fear. But in the midst of that fear, we're willing to step forward. You see, the journey of faith is not an event. We come to faith the minute we pray to receive Christ. But the journey of walking in that faith is a process. It's a process. Sometimes we take three steps forward and one back, and sometimes we take three back and one forward. In the very next part of this chapter that we're going to look at next week, we see that this great man of faith who steps into the unknown lies to the Pharaoh of Egypt and says that Sarah is his sister, not his wife. Why? Because he allowed his fear to overcome his faith. And so it's like this, friends. None of us ever... We all, to say it that way, we all falter in our faith sometimes. And then thirdly, we see that faith builds upon itself. Fear becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And here's what I mean, is that stepping out in faith breeds what? It breeds more faith. But when we allow fear and we become a person who lives in fear, what does it lead to? More fear. And so we seek to be people of faith. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to see that Abraham certainly becomes a giant of the faith and deserves to be in Hebrews 11. But he didn't start there. And we see that his faith life, like ours, is kind of up and down. But what also we will see is he is example to me, an example to you, of someone who is willing to take steps to grow. To grow in his faith and obedience. And I believe that's all that God looks for us, from us. He doesn't look for perfection in our faith. He says, are you willing to step out and to grow in your faith, to grow in your obedience?